This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
A little while ago, I was reading a story, and it was a story about a young kid called Sam. Sam was about, 11, 12 years of age at the time, and he just got to that point in life where a lot of young guys do, and they're kind of outgrowing their coordination. He was kind of clunky and clumsy, this was his life. But he found out that there was a nativity play being put on by his school. Now, the drama teacher at his school, she was kind of next level. This was not going to be a nativity play where kids wear tea towels around their heads. No. This was full props, full staging, all costumes. There was no expense spared on this particular nativity play. Kids had to audition for roles, and Sam's parents were thinking, oh man, what role is our son going to get? He can't sing, couldn't sing to save his life, and he's kind of clumsy at the moment. Maybe he can be the Christmas tree, or maybe he can be the Christmas star. He can just stay in the one spot for the whole time. To his parents' shock, and to Sam's shock as well, he got the role of the innkeeper in the nativity play. And Sam had one line to remember in the nativity play, and his one line was, "There is no room at the inn." And so he would stand in front of his mirror at home and he would go over his line, "There is no room at the inn." He'd emphasize different words, "There is no room at the inn." And he'd go over and over and over this one line, trying to make sure it was burned into his memory. There was lots of rehearsals, and then eventually the big night came of the nativity play. And Mary and Joseph and a kid who's kind of walking on all fours pretending to be a donkey, they kind of came up the stage. And it's Sam's big moment. As they approach him, Sam looks across at Mary and Joseph and the donkey, and in his best voice he says, "There!" And he has a complete mental blank. You ever had that if you're up front public speaking? It's terrifying to have a complete mental block. I hope that it doesn't happen this morning. But he has a complete mental block. And so he backs up. Composes, "There's," and he pauses again, and it's starting to get awkward at this point. His mum and dad are going, "Oh, please, please, please." Mary and Joseph and the donkey are kind of looking up, and eventually Mary decides to take matters into her own hands, and so rather than be told that there's no room in the inn and that they have to go to a stable, Mary starts walking off. Joseph follows. The donkey's going flat out on all fours, starts to wander away, and Sam looks at this scene, looks at his scene dissolving, and he panics even more, and he says, there's room at my place. Why don't you just come over?" I don't know about you, but I like Sam and his response. That's a response I want in the Christmas story. I mean, call me old school, but if there is a pregnant lady on the bus and you're sitting down, what do? You stand up, you stand up. Or if you are standing between a pregnant lady and a toilet, what do? You get out of the way. Or if you've got a Mars bar in your hand and there is a pregnant lady who has a craving for chocolate, what do? You hand that bad boy over before somebody gets hurt. We all know that, don't we? And yet this guy won't even make room for a pregnant lady. In fact, it gets worse. A lot of biblical scholars these days would suggest that this guy was probably a member of Joseph's family. According to verse 4 in the passage that Amanda just read for us then, the reason that Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem is because that's where Joseph's family are from. Now, I don't know about you, but if I travel interstate or overseas, who's the first person you're going to hit up for free accommodation? It's family. You always go to family. It's very likely that this guy is family, and yet he still makes no room. And while that's bad enough, while it's bad enough that this guy doesn't free up room for a pregnant lady and for family, he also doesn't free up room for the Son of God. This is not just any baby being born. This is God in flesh moving into the neighborhood being born. And if you are going to make room for any child, this is the one to make room for. And yet, And yet there is a contrast in this story. In downtown Bethlehem, there is no room. And yet on the hills outside of Bethlehem, people are making room. We read in verse 8 that the shepherds are living out in the fields at night. Good news was being declared. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It's going to bring peace and it's going to bring God's presence, and promises are going to be fulfilled. In the fields outside of Bethlehem, a group are making room.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. In the fields outside of Bethlehem, another group were making room. Now, we sometimes like to romanticize these noble shepherds looking after their sheep by night. But in the first century, these guys were probably the last ones that you would expect angels to give a message about a newborn king. Shepherds were close to the bottom rung of society in first century Israel. They were deemed to be unclean. They were uneducated. They were poorly paid peasants. And they had a one-line, four-word job description: look after the sheep. That's all you got to do. You got one job. Have you seen those kind of memes on the internet? You know, you got one job and they screw it up. Okay, these guys had one job, four words: look after the sheep. If the sheep are hungry, you're going to feed them. If they're thirsty, you're going to water them. And if they're in danger from a wild animal, you put your life on the line first before the sheep. You know how valued you are when a sheep is more important than you. That was their life. And yet on that night, these uneducated, unclean peasants receive good news. In verse 10, it says, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So what's the good news? Verse 11, "Today," excuse me, "in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." What's the good news here? To a people whose lives and nation were in despair, a Savior has been born. To a people who felt like they were without hope, a people who were hopeless, God was keeping his promises and God was bringing hope into the world because his Savior is the long-awaited Messiah. And to a people suffering with fear and anxiety, this baby lying in a manger would bring peace and joy. And when faced with this incredible declaration from the angels, the shepherds did the unthinkable. They did like the meme on the internet. They had one job and they abandoned the sheep and they run down the hill toward downtown Bethlehem because they made room for the good news. Verse 15, it says, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Let's make room for good news. And so they leave the sheep and hurry down the hill. In verse 17, which Amanda's going to read for us in the next part of the Bible readings, it says, "When they had seen Jesus," when they'd seen him, "they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." They make room for good news But after seeing the child, they can't help but talk about it. Why? Because good news is contagious. You know that, right? Good news is contagious. If you had a really great bit of news, not a gossip bit of news, but a really good bit of news, and you cannot wait to share it. I remember in the lead up to Christmas, one of our guys, Dean Russell, put together a video clip about good news of Christmas. And the way that Dean communicated that was he had a number of people who were sharing bits of good news and their friends are gathering around and there was time for celebration. Now, one of those, without wanting to embarrass her too much, was with my future daughter-in-law, Sienna. And they were recreating the moment that Sienna was showing her friends her engagement ring and letting friends know that she was now engaged to our son, Josh. And there's all sorts of, wow, you know, how did he pop the question? And, oh, this is so great. And her friend's genuinely excited by what had happened. And I know that for Carolyn and for I, we were absolutely delighted when Josh and Sienna got engaged. We were stoked. We love our son Josh and we love Sienna and they're an awesome couple. I remember standing right here and I shared that with the church. I said, you'll never guess what? Josh and Sienna got engaged. And without any prompting, the church goes, yeah, that's awesome. We love those guys. Why? Because good news is contagious. We love sharing good news. And these shepherds who'd made room for the good news at first Christmas, they tell anyone who will listen. And as they begin to experience joy and peace and hope, the good news starts to find traction. The good news is finding traction not only in their lives, but in the lives of anyone else who gave them the time to listen. But there is another person in the story as well. Another person who is making room for good news, but in a different way.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
As the shepherds are experiencing the first fruits of joy and peace and hope, we read in verse 19 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Literally, it says there that Mary made room in her heart to treasure the good news. It's actually the same word in the Greek language in which this was originally written. It's the same word that you would use for a wineskin that would carve out or make room for the treasured, for the precious wine within. It's making room in a heart. In the midst of the difficult circumstances, in the midst of being far from home, in the midst of facing all sorts of questions and the prospect of a life that was going to be filled with challenges and with heartache, Mary makes room for good news. And here's what I've noticed about Mary. She was one resilient lady, wasn't she? Incredibly resilient. And making room for this good news seems to be one of her secrets for living a life of resilience and of strength and of perseverance. Very soon, she and Joseph are going to be fleeing down to Egypt to try to escape Herod the Great, who is intent on killing her newborn child. In years to come, she would watch as her son is mocked and ridiculed, as people try to trip him up in his words, and ultimately as a crown of thorns are placed upon his head and nails are driven into his hands and feet and he's crucified. And there this same mother stands at the foot of the cross watching as a son is put to death. If making room for good news for the shepherds meant peace and joy and hope, for Mary, in addition to that, it seems that it brought resilience and strength and perseverance. You see, this Christmas story is a story of contrast. On the one hand, there is this unnamed innkeeper, possibly family member, who refuses to make room for good news. And on the other hand, are shepherds and are a mother who make room for good news. The question I want to ask you this Christmas is this: Who do you most connect with in the story? Who do you most connect with in the story? Have you made room for the good news of Jesus? Now, I don't just mean at Christmas when carols are playing at Erin Fair and when people are putting kind of nativity scenes in fairy lights in their front yards. I'm not talking about that. I mean, throughout the year, have you made room for Jesus? Do you continue to make room for Jesus? I encounter so many people in our community and they are desperately seeking peace and hope and joy and perseverance and resilience and strength. They want these things, but they keep looking in dead ends. They keep looking in the wrong places. They keep looking to places like their career advancement or to the next vacation or to bigger bank accounts or to self-help books. And those things aren't bad in themselves. I love a good vacation. It's wonderful having a few extra bucks in the bank account that I can be generous with to others. And for sure, career advancement, you go, that's a good thing. But they're not the foundation. They're not the foundation for those things of peace, the joy, of perseverance, of hope, of resilience, and of strength. The only way that you will know those things at a deep level is as you make room for Jesus, as you make room for the good news of Jesus. He is the one that can bring the transformation to your life that you desperately seek, that so many in our community desperately seek. Receive Jesus just like the angel spoke of. Receive him as, the word they use there is Lord, which is not a word we use a lot these days, Lord. It simply means leader or king, the one who's gonna lead your life because he has your best at heart. He wants you to live your best life. And you receive him as well as Savior, the angels say. The one who'll not only forgive you, but also give you eternal life in the future and empower you to live your best life in the here and now. But you know what, even that, there is so much more. It's not just about a selfish, man, I get my ticket punched into heaven and I get to be a good person. No, it's about a purpose bigger than yourself. It's about participating in his kingdom where there is a restoration of all things, restoration of relationship with God, with one another, with the whole created order. There is this higher purpose that your life has been called into where you can experience joy, where you can experience peace and hope and resilience and strength and perseverance. That is the life that Jesus has for you, that he offers you if you will make room for him. If you'll spend time with him, not just Netflix, because the more you know him, the more you're going to experience those things. The peace that you desperately want, the joy in your life. There is good news for you this Christmas if you'll take the step of making room for Jesus, making room for the good news of Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this morning and I figure there's probably kind of two groups of people in the room, maybe there's more. There's kind of two groups of people in the room. There's a first group who maybe you've never really made room for Jesus. You've been trying to search for all those things, for peace and hope and joy and resilience and strength and empowerment. You've been in strength. You're looking for those things. You haven't found them yet because you've been looking in the wrong place. And maybe this morning you want to make room for Jesus. You don't want to live like the innkeeper. You want to live like the shepherds and like Mary. And in a few moments I'm going to pray. And you can pray along just in the quiet of your own heart. And this is what we're going to be saying to Jesus. I'm going to say, Jesus, I haven't made room for you and I'm sorry for that. Thank you for your forgiveness. Today I receive you as Lord and Savior. I desperately need you. I need the joy, peace, hope, resilience and strength that only you can provide. Please help me, Jesus. And you might want to make that prayer your own this morning. If you've never made room for Jesus or if you've just wandered far from him, today can be the day when you receive that gift. We're going to be giving and receiving all sorts of gifts today, but maybe you want to receive that gift of good news this morning as you make room for Jesus. There's another group probably in the room as well this morning. And the other group, you kind of might be a regular churchgoer, you might be part of a connect group, but you know in yourself that Jesus is increasingly on the edges. You know, on a day-by-day basis, you're not making a whole lot of room for Jesus. Jesus is kind of pushed to the periphery of life. There's not a lot of room for Jesus at the moment. And you're feeling an increasing disconnection from Him. I'm going to pray a second prayer. And you might want to make this one your own as well this morning. And the prayer is simply going to say, Jesus, this Christmas, I want to make room for you. Thank you for your grace that invites me into relationship with you. Please give me wisdom to continue to make room for you. Please help me to not only experience greater joy, peace, hope, resilience, and strength, but also to be a river of that to others. So they're going to be a couple of response prayers. So maybe where you're at right now, you just want to close your eyes and bow your head. And for that first group, the group where you know that right now you haven't made room for Jesus, maybe you want to pray this prayer with me. Make it your own. Jesus, I haven't made room for you, and I'm sorry for that. Thank you for your forgiveness. Today, I receive you as Lord and Savior. I desperately need you. I need the joy, peace, hope, resilience, and strength that only you can provide. Please help me, Jesus. Please help me, Jesus. And if you're part of that second crew where Jesus has been increasingly pushed to the peripheries, the edges, there's not a lot of room for Jesus at the moment and you're feeling disconnected, maybe you want to make this second prayer yours. And you might want to pray, Jesus, this Christmas I want to make room for you. Thank you for your grace that invites me into relationship with you. Please give me wisdom to continue to make room for you. Please help me to not only experience greater joy, peace, hope, resilience, and strength, but also to be a river of that to others. God, I pray for both groups this morning as I pray for myself, and I ask that we would be a people who make room for Jesus, because Jesus, you are the author, the perfecter of faith. You are the source of life and of love, and we confess that oftentimes we run in the opposite direction. We try to do our own thing. We try to lead our own lives rather than submit them to your leadership. So God, I pray for renewal amongst us today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work in this place this morning, drawing people to yourself, that they might know the fullness of life that they've been created for. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, we've got some more songs we're going to be singing, and there's some other elements to service this morning. But after service this morning, I'm going to be at the door. And if you prayed either one of those prayers, if you made them your own, can you have a chat to me at the door? I'd love to talk with you some more about that, to get details so that we might be able to better support you and care for you as you make these decisions.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.